to our very first Divine Healing Seminar, Workshop, whatever you want to call it, that we're hosting here at Heaven's Invasion under the auspices of Kingdom Training Institute. We're just so blessed to have you guys here tonight. And I want to invite you in the back, please. Come up forward because you're going to really, I think, engage at a greater level if you're closer to the front instead of being all the way in the back there. I'm not going to force you, but I learned years ago that the anointing is stronger in the front. Don't ask me why. It just seems like it is. And so, I encourage you to do that. We're going to be handing out a book that Joe will talk about. It's a book that's been provided free by its authors, and it's a really awesome thing. We've made copies for everybody, as well as some other information. So thank you again for coming. My good friend Joe Lascano has been engaged in healing ministry for how many years now?
It's been five.
5 years, okay. Too many to count. No, it's not that bad. But, God's really graced him with a lot of wisdom and anointing, and just God just given him a lot to share in this regard. He's been doing this for, like I said, 5 years. So I want you to really just enjoy today and receive from God. We are going to switch into a healing service around 6. So any of you that have friends or relatives or whatever that you feel like would be benefit to come and get prayed for healing, you might want to start texting them now and say, hey, be here at 6 o'clock, 69 Myrtle Street, Cranford, because we will be praying for the sick. And those of you that are watching on Periscope, there's got to be some. Well, you know what? We'll try to get somebody to man the phone at 6. That way, if you want to type in your prayer request, you can have that read while we're actually praying. I know there's some folks here that are actually going to be calling people during that time. That's another thing you can do. You want to call a friend and say, hey, can we pray for you right now on the phone? We'll do that as well. So without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to my good buddy Joe, and let's have some fun today in Jesus' name.
Awesome. Oh my. I need someone to help me pass out the manuals. Someone to help me pass out index cards, one for each person. Awesome. Well, that is getting done. As Russ already said, I'm Joe Lascano. And I said 5 years, the length of time that I've been engaged in ministering healing. But I'm going to go over some things, and this started as far as 30 years ago. But I think it's been consistent, and I have applied more of my heart to it over the past few years. I don't know if it's five. Jen, you were coming. You're better with coming. I don't know. 5 years ago. Okay. So. Okay. That manual, it was made by two brothers, Cornel Moraes and Simon Grossen, and they put that together. It's a very simple manual and very to the point. And they put that together and made it available for free for anyone who wanted to use it. I found the manual, and then I said to them, hey, let me translate it to Spanish. So I was able to translate it into Spanish, and since then it's been translated into, I don't know, Russian, French, Italian, and so many other languages. And many brothers and sisters are using it. And because it's very basic and it's to the point, so they're using it as their curriculum for teaching the ministry of healing. Okay. So let me begin with scripture. Okay. And we have in Matthew 4:23. It says that Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of disease and sickness among the people. So a report about him spread throughout Syria, people brought to him all who suffered with various illnesses and afflictions, those who had seizures, paralytics, and those possessed by demons. And he healed them. And large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and so forth. So, we're going to go over some of those words. He went throughout Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. The Greek word for that is therapeio, which means to cure, to heal, and to restore to health. He was teaching all kinds of disease. The Greek word malakia, which means infirmity, bodily weakness, sickness, and debility. So, he was healing all kinds of disease and sickness. Greek word for sickness, nosos, which means disease, infirmity, sickness, among the people. So a report went about throughout Syria, and people brought to him all who suffered. Greek word for suffer, kakos, which means to be ill, to be miserable. Suffer with various illnesses. Again, malakia, we went through that. And afflictions. Greek word basanos, which means torture, torment, acute pain. Those who had seizures, paralytics, and those possessed by demons. And he healed them all. Okay. So let's just talk to the Father for a few seconds. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. And thank you for the honor, Lord, to speak with them and share with them all this good stuff. That we may all use it, Lord, to just spread the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils in Jesus' name. All right. So, how did this start in my life? Right. It all began when I was 18 years old, and when I was 18, I was invited to go to church, and over there at church, I heard the gospel. I didn't understand what the pastor was saying, but I was like, man, I really like this stuff here. So I went to the front, I received Jesus, and I was a new man from that moment on. I didn't know the scripture because I was a baby Christian. But I heard said about Jesus having healed people, okay? And now I accepted him into my heart. Cool. So I had heard about God heals, God heals. And nobody had taught me that it couldn't happen. Nobody had taught me, oh, there are things that stop you, or there are things that make it not happen. So I didn't know any of those things. So I just went happy about just laying hands on whomever I could and praying. One of them was a friend of mine that received Jesus the week after I did. He calls me, I'm sick, I don't feel good. He was a DJ. I'm like, cool. So let's go to your house and let's pray. All right, so I went to his house. He hooked up the sound system. He put the echo. He's like, he gave me the mic and said, pray for me. Okay, so with all the effects and the sound of the speakers in this room, the way I heard it said, is sickness, get out in Jesus' name. Done. So, and he got well, and it was like, oh, awesome. After that, shortly after that, my brother, myself, and another brother, we said, you know, we should go out, and we should just talk to people about Jesus. This wasn't church sanctioned, even though they had groups where they weren't out in the middle of that. But we just had the idea of doing it. We started going out. We ended up in, now this was 30 years ago, between 42nd Street and Broadway in Manhattan. When they had all the nice theaters, remember that? Okay. Some of you know that. And we started there. And we just preached the gospel to people. One of them got a loudspeaker. And we were out there preaching our little hearts out. You know, and all those who needed prayer, we prayed for them. But one day, I came across a, who knows Mauro Cerullo? You guys know Mauro Cerullo? Okay. I came across his Victory Miracle Library. Back 30 years ago, you became a God's Victorious Army member, and they sent you your pin, And every month they sent you the little magazine that he had teached and stuff like that. So I take that, I start reading, and the first line that hit me was, Jesus never prayed for the sick. You know, it's like, what are you talking about, little horse? Well, he goes on to explain that he never prayed for the sick. And then I looked into scripture, and I was like, you know what? He never prayed for the sick. He just gave commands. He didn't go ask the Father to heal. He commanded sickness to go. So I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. Let me get that part of our repertoire. So one day we're in New York, 42nd Street, and this Jewish guy who was a new believer, who used to go to Times Square Church at that time with Brother Wilkerson, he came over to us and he was befriending us. But then sometime later, he came to us and he looked pale. He did not look well. And he says, guys, all my intestines are invaded with cancer. They can't do nothing. I'm all full. Okay, so we just looked at each other and said, okay, just please pray for me or something. Okay? So we did what we know to do. In Jesus' name, cancer, get out! Okay, brother, let us know how it goes. Well, we didn't see him for 2 months. And we're like, oh, man, I wonder how he's doing. You know, every day we're looking around the corner. He wasn't showing up. We just leave. And then one day, it's this little Jewish guy with a big smile on his face coming down. He's like this. And he says, guys, I got no cancer. They checked me. I'm free. I got nothing. Amen. And we're like, oh, that's awesome. We were celebrating with him. And we were happy with him. And we were astonished at how simple it was. And then I have another case of a brother that used to go to a church here in New Jersey. And I found out he lived around the corner from my wife's grandmother's house. And we heard that he had cancer also, that he had terminal cancer. So I went to visit him, knocked on the door, and said, so-and-so here, I am a believer. And I come here to set you free. And they're like looking at me weird. I'm like, okay, come in. Another couple had just at the moment come in. And I was holding my Bible. You know, that's like your ID, you know, that I guess you push your place and put your Bible on your arm. So they saw the Bible. They're like, okay, brother, come in. So I went in. And I had to spend like half hour convincing this brother that it was not God's will that he was sick. Because this brother kept on telling me, God allowed this cancer to ravage me so that he could draw me closer to him. So this brother had an agreement with that sickness. And he was welcoming it. Because, yeah, you go through stuff, it does draw you kind of close to God, right? We get that perception, even though we're Siamese twins with God. But that's what he believed. So I'm like, I had spent a half hour trying to talk to him about identity, about who he was. This was not God's will for you. It is the devil that came to kill, steal, and destroy. Christ came to give us life. It's not for you. When he began to nod and agree with, yeah, you know what? It's not for God. That's the moment. Okay, let's pray. So, now mind you, I know that we're not praying, but we'll call it praying because that's our language that we're supposed to speak. So again, in Jesus' name, cancer, get out. All fear, whatever is piggybacking along with cancer, get out. Let us know how it goes. And then, as I remember the story, I had heard that his cancer went into remission. This is what doctors call it, remission, and he was fine. But then the sad news is that time after that, I heard he died. Because cancer came back with a vengeance and took it. So what happens? Mindset and mind renewal is very important, okay? Because if you get somebody healed, but if they think that our loving Father is allowing it or letting it happen for a reason, very soon, when that spirit comes back and knocks on the door, and the way the spirit knocks on the door is he gives you a little bit of the symptoms. And instead of saying no, he says, say, oh, you see, I wasn't healed. And then it happened. That's the door wide open and come right in and you know what happens. Anyway. All right, so let's move on now. The manifestation and release of authority in healing is something that you develop as you do it. Okay? You have to allow yourself to grow in healing. Okay? The same way that somebody gets up to preach for the first time and they're like, and we all give grace. It's like, oh, that's his first time, man. It's okay, bro. You're doing great, man. That's awesome. Just keep on doing it. Right? The first time you try to give a word to somebody and they look at you like, you know? And it's like, oh, man, I missed it. That's okay. You keep on doing it. You sure got better. You know, keep on doing it, right? Many times when it comes to healing, we don't have that approach. Because what happens? Because in healing, when you miss it, somebody suffers or dies. You know, when you miss it in healing, they'll be in pain and suffering, or they will die. So growing in healing is seen as like, whether you get it done or not. Oh, you didn't get it done? Well, you don't have the juice. You don't have the healing anointing. Oh, you have it? Cool. You bring, you know, everybody to you. You know, and that is not what God desires. Okay? Here, what we're talking, we're not talking about a method. Okay? Because everybody knows how to heal, right? Everybody knows how to heal. Every single one of you. I ask a question, you'll know. Okay, let me ask somebody. How do you heal, brother? Put your hands in the sink, and there we go. All right? Everybody knows that. That's what Jesus did, right? So we all know that. We all know it. Technically, we all know it, right? But what happens is sometimes, and this is what I call it, some of the people call sacred cows, okay? There are some sacred cows that we hold in high esteem that get in the way of our mind, the way our mind works, okay? There are areas of our mind that need renewing when it comes to healing. For example, you cannot be an effective healing minister if you think that it is God's will for a person to be sick. You can't. I'll tell you straight up. You can't. Because you will find that person that you will approach to pray for, and in the back of your mind, you'll be thinking, it may not be God's will.
Yeah.
God may want this person to be sick. Right there, you cannot release power. Right there, you have no authority to tell sickness to get out. Because that sickness will look at you in the eyes and the face and say, you don't even believe what you're going to say. So then how do people play that the safe way? They don't take responsibility for the sick. They take the safe route, which is what? Your God, if it's your will, please heal them, Lord. I wash my hands.
It's up to him. It's up to me.
And that's the way the majority of the body of Christ has been handling healing. Okay? Many times is that is, dear Lord, if it's your will, and we wash our hands. And many times, God is so merciful that he's like, it is my will. But many times, people just die. Because we don't have believers to have the guts to face possible failure, to face possible embarrassment. Okay? So, we have to get rid of a lot of the things that we consider are hindrances that are between our ears. Okay? Now, a little bit more about my story, right? So, 30 years ago, I'm seeing people healed. I'm excited. I go to church. A brother, I remember one time, Jen and I were starting to go out. And there's a brother, oh, my foot, whatever. And we went to a little room, remember, honey? Held hands, we prayed, we're fine. I'm seeing this stuff happen, okay? But then what happens? I begin to get churchianized. Okay? I begin to get churchianized. What does that mean? I begin to hear the usual church lingo. If a person is in sin, that is punishment from God, they will not be healed. Okay? You cannot heal. Just anybody can just lay hands. No, you need to have a special calling from God, because the Bible says not to lay your hands on that. So then what happened? And then I developed a theology of it may not be God's will for a person to be healed. Okay? Analytical Joe, who likes to go deep and study, develops that theology, that faulty theology. And for years, my theology was, it may not be God's will, it may be God's will. Okay? But you know what? I had tasted the good stuff 30 years ago. So, many years, I had developed that theology, it didn't sit right with me. Like, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that. Until one day, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know when it was, I said to the Lord, you know what? I'm going to go over everything that Jesus did. I'm going to see what he said, how he did it, and you're going to show me, you're going to help me if how this healing thing is. Okay? So I began to read. And then I came across videos on the internet from John G. Lake Ministries, and I began to remember, and that excitement began to brew again. And I'm like, man, you know? It's like waking up again. And then I began to put it in practice. And my wife and my kids know that everywhere we were, anywhere, Daddy was there approaching people to pray for them. And not only that, I used to make my kids do it. Joseph and Maddie, they have both people healed quite a few times. Walmart, in different places. And Jen too, were like, you know. So I was like, you know what? I was so wrong, but it's like now God has opened my eyes again, you know? And it felt great. So you need to your mind renewed, and you need to be convinced. Okay? Not just I believe God. You need to be convinced that God's original intent for our bodies was health. Okay? God's original intent for our bodies was, by his stripes, we were healed. Okay? Now, the unrenewed mind gets in the way of releasing the power of God. Okay? Jesus said that the traditions of men make the word of God of none effect. Okay? We all know brothers and sisters who belong to different denominations who do not believe that the Spirit of God moves in the way it moves, and that there's no bond, no tongues, and that there is no prophecy, right? Yet they can flow in different aspects of the Spirit of God magnificently. They can be amazing preachers, amazing teachers, but when it comes to healing or the prophetic, they're like, nope, so nothing's going to flow. Because the Spirit doesn't want it? No, because in their minds, they have closed doors. Okay? Their traditions have made the word of God of none effect. Now, I am touching all these points that I consider very important. Okay? And I see you taking notes, and that's great. Because in the time that we had allotted for this seminar, we couldn't go through the whole manual. Okay? So that manual is for you to take home and begin reading it with your notes. Okay? That manual is amazing. I love it. Okay, but we don't have the time to go over it. So we'll touch some points now. In about maybe a half hour, the index cards that I gave you, I want you to write and ask any question that you have. Any.
Yes, some of them have no cards. Some of us have no cards.
No cards?
Well, thank you. Okay.
Where are the cards? So, any questions that you have, you write. We'll go over them, and we'll answer them, okay? Because I don't want this to be a monologue where I'm here just talking. No, you guys got to ask questions, and I don't know everything, okay? But to the best of my ability, I will answer you based on the scriptures and based on my own personal experience. So, you release God's power based on what you truly believe, okay? Now, we say praying for the sick, like I said before, but we don't pray for the sick. Okay, and you will not find one place in scripture where Jesus prays for the sick. You will not find it. Okay, if anybody finds it, let me know. But you will not find it where he goes to a sick person and he says, Father, heal this person. No. Okay. It's about releasing power and authority. We see in Luke 10:9, what does it say? Behold, I give you power to thread, to step upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay? Now we read that and we're like, great, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Our power is bigger than his power. We know that. When you go to the Greek, he's saying, behold, I give you exousia over all the dunamis of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So what does exousia mean? It means authority. Not just bossiness. It means authority. It means the badge. Okay? And dunamis, we know that dunamis is ability, right? So Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, pay attention, I give you authority. You carry my badge, okay, over all the ability of the enemy, all the enemy's abilities. What are his abilities? Death, sickness, oppression, lies, right? So you have badge authority over all the dunamis, or all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Let me give you an example of authority. Okay? If you have children, you have practiced summons. Okay? You tell your young kid, go fix up your room. Okay, you have given that child a command. Go fix up your room. That child can just say, okay, and go do it.
Right.
Many times that child says, but. They're coming up with reasons why they don't want to do it. Right? Now look at the parallel. Okay? You need to treat sickness and disease as a person. You don't treat it as an abstract feeling, as an abstract symptom. You treat sickness and disease as a person, as a rebellious person or child that wants to get their way. Okay? So you tell your kid, go fix up your room. And the kid says, no, I don't want to go. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Go fix up your room. No, but this. What happens if at that moment you turn around and you say, forget it? You lose your authority. You began to engage that child to obey you, and you quit. You lose your authority. Next time it's going to be a lot more difficult to get that child to obey you. Or, sometimes parents, you have done this, right? Go fix up your room. But I'm playing, I'm doing this. I'm going to count to 10. 10, 9. That child is waiting for you to be 2, 1 to move. So you just wasted 10 seconds there. Okay, you gave the child the power. Okay? The same thing happens with sickness and disease. Okay? You don't negotiate with the devil. You don't negotiate with sickness. It's on your terms, not on their terms. Sometimes the child acts rebellious. The sickness acts rebellious. It doesn't want to go. It acts stubborn. And then it says we freak out. Oh my God, this is not working. Something else has to work. This is not working. maybe if I just sprinkle some holy water on you, it'll work. Why? It's taking us out of our place of confidence and authority. Okay? You carry a badge, right? And let's say that you're in the military, you're in the army, okay, and you're a captain, and you got your stripes. You come over to a private, you say, "Private, give me 10 push-ups." He says, "Right now I'm tired, man, I can't do it." The captain doesn't go, he's not listening to me. "Would you be so kind to give me 10 push-ups for me?" "Not right now, captain, I can't." You don't see that happening. Because that is not authority. Authority is, "Give me 10 push-ups." "I don't know about it." "Give me 10 push-ups." "Yes, sir." And guess what happens when you practice that in your daily life? You develop a reputation that you don't put up with crap. You develop a reputation with sickness and disease. "That guy over there, he doesn't put up with it. When he speaks, we gotta go, because if we try to resist, he'll stay here until we go." And many times, you'll walk into a room, and people that are sick will no longer feel sick. Because they're like, "Oh, he's here."
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You develop a reputation of authority. We learned this by practice. Okay? So many times, 30 years ago, when I came across the Morris Cerullo magazine, I was by myself in my room, looking in the mirror, and just practicing authority. If somebody saw me doing that, I was crazy. But I'm there by myself in the room, practicing, seeing a sick person in front of me, and me saying, "In the name of Jesus, you sickness, you get out of this body right now, and you get up and walk." Nobody's watching me, I'm just practicing. The funny thing is that you practice that often enough, when the real moment comes, it just flows more naturally. You can be really aggressive, you know. Okay. Okay, so we practice, also, we walk this walk, learning not to trust our feelings, okay? Many times in the body of Christ, we have a tendency to walk by emotion and by feelings, okay? Emotions and feelings, as great as they are, and as valid as they are valid, okay? Because God has made us with a heart, and God has emotions, okay? And many times when you're alone with God, tell me he does not engage you in your emotions, okay? He does. But when it comes to getting someone healed, when it comes to kicking sickness butt out of a person, you cannot be emotional, okay? You cannot. You have to be as neutral and as settled as possible, okay? Now, we're going to talk about anointing. It's very interesting. Because for many years, I thought that the anointing was the Holy Spirit. You know, and I was like, "Wow." And you feel that special goosebumps feeling, and you're like, "Oh yeah, Holy Spirit is here." You know, but then I began to learn, and I saw in the scripture something that was really interesting. We are anointed by God because we are sons, right? And daughters, right? But we're all sons, right? You are anointed because you are sons, okay? You get to heal people. Okay, you get to release power. You get to display authority, not because of an anointing. Okay, and by that I mean a special feeling from the Spirit. Okay, let me explain further. The anointing is an appointing into sonship. Okay? The anointing is an appointing into sonship. It is not a feeling. I'm looking at you like, So, I'm trying to put this in very gentle words. You're anointed because you're sons of God, and you heal because of sonship. Okay? You don't get a bigger anointing. You don't get a stronger anointing. you don't even get more authority. Okay? What you get is that you begin to grow into Christ. You begin to grow into your authority. You begin to grow into who you are, into your sonship. Okay? You begin to grow in your awareness of what you carry, which is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You become aware of that. You're like, huh, you always had it. You know, you just begin to become aware of it. Now, in Galatians 4:6, we read, and Paul tells the Galatians, right? Because you are sons, God has given you the Spirit of His Son. Interesting. Because you are sons, God has given you the Spirit of His Son. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? Because He has anointed me. So what came first, the Spirit or the anointing? Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God has given you the Spirit of His Son. Because of your sonship, God has given you the Spirit. Because you've been anointed into sonship, because of that, God has given you the Spirit. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." So we see that the anointing is not the Spirit. The anointing doesn't come after or because of the Spirit. The Spirit came because they were anointed into sonship. Because you are sons, God has given you the Spirit of His Son. Where we cry, Abba, Father. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." So since the anointing is your appointment into sonship, you've been smeared into sonship. Okay? The anointing has no feeling. The anointing has no feeling. And I know everybody's like, "What? What are you talking about?" The anointing has no feeling. Now let me explain that with the scripture. Samson, the Spirit of God will come upon him, right? The anointing will be like, and then what will happen? Taking gates out, taking a jaw and killing 1,000 Philistines, and doing these amazing things for God, right? Until he found this lady, right? And then Delilah is like, "Oh, what is your secret of your strength?" He's like, "Oh, well, you know, oh, you know, this, this, and that. You know, you're lying. You don't love me." Right? And then what happened? She broke him down. You know? He's like, "Oh, man, if I don't turn, I'm going to lose this hottie. I don't know what to do." You know? And he's like, "You know what? These dreads, you know, these locks. You know, he must have been Jamaican." You know, he's like, "These locks, this is a sign of my covenant with God. You know, I've been Nazarene. I've been dedicated to God since youth." He's like, "Oh, okay." They came. You know the story. Cut him off. Samson, the Philistines. What does Samson do? Let me tell you what the Bible does not say. He got up and is like, "Feel the anointing. Where's my strength?" Did he do that?
No. Oh. The Lord had departed.
He acted like he always acted, which was, "Let's go get him." And when they grabbed him and he was weak as a noodle, he realized, oh my God, my anointing is gone. The power is gone. He didn't know when it left, when he didn't have it. That means he didn't know when he had it. That's why the anointing has no feeling. Because your anointing is, you have been appointed into sonship. And you are a king and a priest and you are royalty. Okay? And if you can see yourselves in the spirit, you will see these gigantic beings full of light that demons tremble when they see you. Okay? Because that's the reality. Okay? Samson did not know when the anointing had left. He did not know when it was there. If he could tell the difference, when it was there or when it wasn't, he would have been like, oh, Delilah, I don't feel the stuff. He went out the back door. But no, he went out to face them. And then he found out, oh, wait a minute, it's not working. Why isn't it working, God? It didn't work. The anointing has no feeling. That's why I said, to be an effective healing minister, you cannot rely on a feeling. You cannot rely on that anointing feeling. You can't. You have to settle it. You got to get yourself out of any feeling. You got to go by facts. By the stripes of Jesus, that person was healed. And we believe that what Jesus did on the cross, right? He did a double whammy on the enemy, right? What was the first whammy? Whipping post, right? By his stripes, we were healed. The second whammy was what? Cross. That if the powers would have known, they would have never crucified, right? So two whammy hit on the enemy. Okay? A two whammy hit. So we know, you stand in front of a sick person, you know that their sickness has already been taken by Jesus. When somebody now sins and comes to Jesus, to God, and they say, God, forgive me. Is that God actually forgiving them at that moment? No. 2,000 years ago, sins were paid for. And something, I love what Ross said last week, that he mentioned that confession on our part is for our own benefit. It's not for God's benefit. It's not for him to be like, oh, right, fine, I forgive you. No. Our sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago. Confession is for your benefit. Well, guess what else happened 2,000 years ago? Part one of the whammy against the enemy, which was what? By his stripes, we were healed. Right? And the cool thing about that part, that Isaiah quotes it in present tense, and by his stripes we are healed. He must have been seen in a vision, Christ being whipped, and the sins of the world being laid on him, and the sickness being laid on him, and humanity being free from sickness. That when Peter quotes Isaiah, he says, by his stripes we were healed. Like he understood, wait a minute, at Calvary and at the whipping post, not just my sicknesses were taken away, not only my sins, everything else that took away and stole from me God's original intent, which was what? No death. And sickness is little death. Disease is little death. If you did not have an immune system, you could die from a cold. You could die from the flu. But God, in his wisdom, he made us, and he's like, oh yeah, I know they're going to screw up, so I'm going to give them an immune system. That's really going to shock me out of it. And God did that. So when the enemy wanted to kill humanity through sickness and death, humanity survived and thrived. Okay. I hope you're writing your questions. So, how do you wipe out an enemy? How do you wipe out an enemy? If you were the general of your army, right? And your army is facing an enemy army, okay? Would you send 100 of your best snipers to start taking them out, or we just drop a new one? Just drop a new, right? Why put my guys in danger of taking one at a time? Let's just drop a new. Let's just work them all out. That don't solve the problem, right? Learn to drop nukes of authority on the enemy. Okay? Learn to drop nukes of authority and virtue and power over every work of the enemy. Okay? Sickness, disease, pain, oppression, whatever it is. Okay? Now, the degree of healing that you will manifest as you walk this out, as you grow this out, okay? And my desire and my hope, okay, is that you guys who are already walking in this and doing this will continue, and those who are not doing this will begin. Begin trying out. Begin getting out there, and any sick person that stands in front of you, lay hands on them, okay? And don't do a, dear God, heal them if it's your will. Just kick sickness out. So the degree of healing that you manifest will go hand in hand with how aware you are, okay, of the authority that you possess because of your union with God. Okay? Another problem with ministering healing many times is that we are addressing God, okay, we are addressing Him as if He is out of the third heaven far away. Can't do that, okay? Because you are sons, God has given you the Spirit of His Son, right? And we all know that that first son, right, our older brother, that first son walked around destroying all the works of the enemy because God was with him. Right? Well, that same Spirit in him that did all that, the same Spirit that lives in him. Okay? The same Spirit. He remembers how he cleansed the lepers. He remembers how he raised Lazarus. He lives in you. You have access to all those memories. You don't complicate it. Oh my God, this person has this problem. Holy Spirit, you did it once. You know how to do it. You just need your mouth and your hand to speak it. Amen. Healing is not something that you do, per se. Healing becomes who you are. Healing becomes who you are. As with everything else that we walk in the spiritual life. Okay, and I know many of you are very prophetic, and you will understand this, that prophecy is not something you do. You have become prophetic. Your life is prophetic. Everything you do, every move you make, your dreams, everything is just like, you just full of it, right? The same thing as with healing. You don't do healing. You become it. Okay? You become it. It becomes a part of your life. Now, speaking again of authority, the enemy pays attention to what you speak to him, okay? Because what you speak shows your awareness of authority, okay? What you say to the devil, what you say to sickness, the devil is not wise, the enemy is not wise because he's a devil. He's wise because he's lived a long time. And he knows human behavior. And he knows human expression. And he knows the human race. Okay? So, he pays attention to what you say. Because to the enemy, what you say says a lot about what you carry in your heart and in your mind. So, every work of the enemy, like I said before, okay, you have to treat it like a person. You have to treat him like a person. God created the heavens and the earth. He made humanity healthy. Okay? God did not create death. Death is the absence of life. The same way God did not create darkness. Right? Darkness is the absence of light. The absence of photons. Right? So God did not create death. Is the absence of life. Okay? Now, in Christ, life came back into the world. Okay? And that same Christ that came back into the world, who is the life of the world, is the same Christ who lives in you. Okay? Now, Christ came to restore everything back to God's original design. Okay? So God incarnates, Christ incarnates into Jesus Christ. He walks this earth. And before he died on the cross, he beat the devil up. Pre-cross, he was already beating up the devil. And then he gives his life. And the devil celebrates. And Jesus says, you had trouble with me. After me, there are going to be millions just like me. Okay? Because that's who you are like. Many times, now, and listen, we could identify ourselves in Scripture with different men of God. And that's cool with that. Okay? But when it comes to healing the sick, you cannot identify yourself anybody besides Jesus. Okay? Listen, if you love to worship and you want to identify with David, that is appropriate because David was in worship, right? If you love the Ten Commandments and you want to identify with Moses, go for it. But when it comes to healing the sick, you need to identify with Jesus Christ. Okay? Not with Elijah, with Elisha, okay? Even though they saw people healed, okay? God healed through them. But Jesus Christ, he is the incarnation of God, and he is it, okay? There's nobody else, all right? He is it. When it comes to healing, he is the teacher par excellence, okay? He is it. There's no one like him. And he, how did he deal with sickness and disease? How did he deal with spirits and devils? Any differently?
No. He spoke to them and cast them out.
No different. They both had to obey. They both had to bow to his orders. Okay? Now, many times, and all that I'm talking are things that hopefully are helping us to renew our mind to the reality of healing, okay? Many times we use the word rebuke. And I used to do that too, a lot. Devil, I rebuke you. Okay? That's cool. But then I began to research it a little bit, okay? If my kid misbehaves, and I tell my kid, I punish you. My kid's going to be like, okay, what's my punishment? Yeah. I punish you. Okay, what's my punishment? Get it? No, devil, I rebuke you. Okay, what's the rebuke? The rebuke is what you tell them to do. Okay? Not using the word, wow. I rebuke, by what the word that you tell them to do. Okay? So how did Jesus rebuke the devil? Get out. Leave. Be gone. That's how he rebuked the devil. Okay? Like when I rebuke my kids. Okay? It wouldn't be a rebuke. It would be, please go clean your room. You know what? No TV for a week. No computer for 2 days. That's my rebuke, okay? And many times we use rebuke as if rebuke was a magic word. Like when we say, in the name of Jesus, we think that in the name of Jesus is a special wording that we have to say to precede so that we can be obeyed by the enemy. Okay? Because we don't understand that in the name means that you are in the name. Okay? You are in the name. You're submerged in Him, in divine union. Okay? And He indwells you permanently. So you can say, in the name. Why? Because I'm coming in His name. Okay? And I practice this a lot with my kids. You know, I would send, like, one of my kids, don't tell your brother to go out and take out the garbage. Okay? Take out the garbage. No. Take out the garbage. No. Daddy. Okay. Tell him that I say to take out the garbage. Things change. Daddy says take out the garbage. All right. Words mean nothing. Is you are going to do this in His name as a representative of who He is. When you stand before a sick person, and don't misunderstand me, when you stand before a sick person, it's like you are God at that moment. In the olden days, a king would send his emissary, and the emissary would have the scroll with the edict of the king, the seal of the king. He's on a horse, he'll travel to another kingdom, and this emissary hands a letter, and this emissary is treated as if he was the king. Boom, stay here overnight, treated with respect, even by enemies. And if by any chance, if the enemy killed the emissary, it was an automatic declaration of war. It was as if he had killed the king himself. So when you go in His name, you go as a representative of who lives in you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for you to repeat in His name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There's a religion that uses words to get what they want. Okay? And they call them incantations. They believe that you say it a certain way, it gets things done. But we know that's not how it is with us. You go in His name is because you are representing Him. You stand in front of a sick person, you can say, what do you want God to do for you? Okay? You got that level of authority to say, what do you want God to do for you?
Amen.
Whatever you need done, here it is. Okay? Whatever you need done, here you go. Take it. Okay? Because you represent the king. And that king said, wherever you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely has been given to you. What do you do? Freely give. Okay. The language of authority when it comes to healing is a militaristic language. Okay? In the Gospels, every time Jesus performed miracles, cast out devils, and the people said, it's amazing, even the spirits obey Him. That Greek word for obey, I don't have it with me right now, but that Greek word is a word used, okay, in a military sense, when a lower rank soldier had to obey a higher rank captain or leader, guard, centurion, whatever. Okay? So it's militaristic. And because the language of authority is a militaristic language, okay, you need to say, okay, what you want to see happen. Somebody's sick. We know that we're not going to do this. Oh, God, please heal them. Okay? Oh, and please, not even No. Somebody comes who is sick before you, and you're like, oh my God, I don't feel the chills. I didn't worship before coming. I don't feel an atmosphere here. Brother Ken, I want to play a CD and come back in 5 minutes and I'll pray for you. You don't get to do that. Because the anointing dwells in you permanently. The anointed one, Christ, Christos, lives in you. You are always anointed. You always carry the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Always. Whether you feel it or not, you carry it. It can't separate from you. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You're one spirit with God. What God has joined together, no man can put asunder. You are one with the Creator of the universe. And you get to represent him. Okay? And when it comes to healing, whatever you want to see happen, you say it. And also, learn to develop your language of being aggressive against the enemy. Okay? Develop your language of being aggressive. Okay? And don't command in the third person. And by that I say, I made a mistake, you know. You're going to pray for somebody. Not pray, but you're going to command. You're going to heal somebody. You're like, Lord, I command this sickness to go. It works, okay? But you see what I'm trying to get at? Give an order, okay? If somebody who's sick is in front of you, and you're able to see the sickness standing right there, looking at you like this, you wouldn't say, God, I command this. No, you look at it in the eyes, you'll be like, get out! That's how you would address it, right? You address it as a person. You address it as an enemy. You address it as something trying to take the life away. You walk up to it and you're like, excuse me, brother, I'm going to talk to you right now. In the name of Jesus, you get out. Okay? You have to address it as a person. Or like I've said before, as a nasty, dirty dog that just came into your house. He's all dirty, full of fleas, rolling in the mud. And he comes into your house, and let's say he goes into your bedroom and lays in your bed. And you walk into your bed after taking a shower, you're like, what? Doggy, can you please leave my bed? You don't do that, right? Oh, wait, I know what you do. Father, can you please take this dog out of my bed? You don't do that either. What do?
Get out.
Get out of my bed. He looks at you like, I don't believe you. Hold on, look at your proof. Right? Right? It's the same attitude against sickness and disease. The same attitude. Because you got the broomstick. 2,000 years ago, Jesus took a broomstick, faced the devil, beat him to a pulp, stripped him of all power, stripped him of all ability. Because the Bible says, right? He said, what did Jesus say? All authority has been given to me. Yes. That means the devil has
nothing.
Okay? So Jesus beat him to a pulp. Okay? To a pulp. There was bloody on the floor. All you could do is, why? I'm strong. I'm powerful. Ooh. Don't open doors. I'm coming in. Okay? So he does that while he's on the floor beat him to a pulp. Okay? And then Christ dies on the cross. Holy Spirit comes, and we are submerged in him, and he gives us the broomstick. Here, guys. And then we go around like, oh, you're being to a pulp. Who am I going to beat up? And remember after World War II, many years after World War II, how many Japanese fighters were in the islands of the South Pacific? They didn't know the war was over. They didn't know the war was over. And they were hiding there waiting for the Americans. And the war had finished 20 years before that. It was the 60s. There are cases they were there. Well, guess what happens? The enemy, he doesn't know. He doesn't know he's been defeated. He's relentless. He's been defeated. He's been destroyed. You carry the broomstick. You carried the badge. You carried the authority. You carried the backup of God. Okay? You face the enemy. He wants to know if you know. He wants to know if you know. Because if you don't know, he'll just be like, I ain't moving. I'm staying here. I'm not moving. Or you pray for a headache and suddenly, oh, now my shoulder hurts. Pray for the shoulder, oh, now my elbow hurts. He's moving around. He doesn't want to go. But you got to make him go. The Greek word for that is ekbalo, which means cast out. When Jesus talks about ekbalo, demons, the same way as ekbalo, sicknesses. Okay? Now, whatever you speak to, spirit of infirmity, spirit of depression, you have to settle it in your heart. Okay? It has no choice but to obey you. It has no choice but to obey you. Okay? Whenever you come face to face with a sick person, you need to settle it in your heart. Settle it. That's not a moment for emotion. It's not a moment for seeking other feelings. No. Settle it. By his stripes, they were healed. When I speak, it's got to obey. It has no choice. And you go face it. Okay? Yeah. Christ in me. But who can stand it? No devil can stand it. Christ in me? No devil can stand it. All right, here we go. Hi, sister. What can I do? Hi, brother. What can I do? Okay? And that's how you address it. Now, at first, as you begin to walk in this, okay, you may not be taken too seriously. You may not be taken too seriously. Why? Because the enemy wants a chance to discourage you. Listen, he has it bad. One person, Jesus Christ, and then sometime later, 12 guys more, and then sometime later, 70 more, right? So, under 100 people 2,000 years ago caused havoc in the region. Havoc. Devil was like, oh my God, who are these people? They're healing everybody. Oh my God, they're reversing my death. Okay? Now on the earth, you have millions and millions and millions and millions of believers. Okay? Who carry God. And we are carriers of God. Okay? Yet, the majority don't know it. Or act like, eh, you know, eh, I don't know. That's for the pastors. That's for the healing evangelist who comes here once a year. That's for brother so-and-so. Oh, he fasts all the time. He's really anointed. Oh, man. When you begin to walk in this, okay, and you take it seriously, okay, what happens? You're going to encounter resistance. The enemy is going to be like, no. Devil, you leave. No. You don't want to be like, all right, well, it's not working. No, you get discouraged. You don't do that. Okay? The same way that captain gives a command, give me 10 push-ups. And he may encounter resistance. The command that the captain gives does not change. The command, the order, does not change. You don't change your command. You don't change your order. Because then it shows you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you believe. You're doubting what you believe. And it happens. You begin to walk in authority. You begin to walk with the Jesus attitude. Okay? Remember what the Bible says, that he cast devils with a word, right? Because all they heard was like, get out, leave, get up and walk, stretch your hand, right? answer. When encountering sickness and disease, do not take no for an answer. Don't take no. Many times, you begin to walk in this, you begin to walk in the Jesus' authority, you'll come a sick person, oh, brother, I have this. Okay, in Jesus' name, be healed, all sickness, get out. 30 seconds later or so, you leave your hands on the person. How are you feeling? You feeling improvement? Nah, man, I'm still the same, like even worse. In Jesus' name, sickness, get out. How are you feeling? I don't know. Our approach is like, oh my God, it's not working. So what do? We go back to what we used to do. And then we begin to look for ways of getting this person healed, okay, without standing in the authority that we have. Now we're like, I wonder why not. Did you chug tobacco today, brother? Did you chug tobacco today? No chug tobacco. Okay. Is your great man getting your mother's side of Freemason? We began to do that because we tried to find a way. And the devil's like, you don't believe what you're saying. Now you're desperate. Resistant, right? You stand before another person, you're standing as a representative of God, a son of God, okay? You're standing as, like it says in 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world, right? So you're standing as a son of God that carries God, okay? And you get to speak on his behalf for the welfare of people. And whenever you ask God, God, what is your will for this sick person? His answer will always be Isaiah 53. Okay? He doesn't change, he doesn't heal on a moment by moment basis. But God, this person is sick, what do I do? Oh, for this one? I don't know. There are cases where the Holy Spirit may want to piggyback another spirit ability to heal. But you need to be secure and you need to be confident in who you are and the authority you carry in Jesus, okay? That based on, only on that, and based on the sacrifice that he did, and based on him being whipped, and based on sickness, disease, sin, and death being paid for at the cross, based on that, you can stand in front of a sick person and get them healed. Okay? Anything else that you want to tag on is a bonus. But if you don't have anything else, you need to learn to do it based on authority alone. Based on you being a child of God that has to be obeyed by who? By every single work of the enemy. Okay? All right. So, healing is two things, pretty much two things, right? Whatever is causing the problem and fixing the body, right? It's two things. Many times somebody says, oh, I have a problem. We cast the problem out, but they may not be feeling well immediately because they are recovering. How do you accelerate the recovery? You lay hands, you release life. Now you command body parts to be restored. Now you command whatever has been affected to be restored. Oh, I'm feeling better. Okay? It may happen immediate. It may happen over some time. Okay? Many times, we develop a theology of immediately. And when we don't see something immediately, you are. You get discouraged. But no. You address the problem, okay, knowing that it has been taken care of. You're just exercising authority. You're evicting the problem, okay? You're fixing the problem. You're kicking the devil out. You're kicking the dog out with a broomstick. Okay? That's what you're doing, and I will see a recovery. I will see a result. Okay? And sometimes, it may take some time. Okay? Sometimes the person will be like, oh man, you know, I still don't feel great. You don't pull back your command. You don't pull back your order. No. You stood there, you gave an order, and when they say, oh, I still don't feel that great, you don't pull it back. That's what the enemy wants, pull it back and go home discouraged, like, oh, I guess it didn't work this time. No. You leave it there. I gave an order, it has to be obeyed. Oh, so it's taking them overnight to obey? That's fine. So it takes overnight for life to bring injured parts to be recovered? That's cool. You know what I mean? Sometimes it may not be immediate. Always push for immediate because it's cool. You know, it's cool. It's like, oh my God, it's people's faces. You're like, hey, awesome. But sometimes it may not happen immediately. And you may need to be like, okay, you will be fine. You will recover, the Bible says. You will recover. The next day you can call, how are you feeling? Are you recovering now? And most of the time you will find out. If you don't pull back your command, that yes, I am better. And it happens. Okay, intent and desire. Okay? Intent and desire are superior to words. We spoke about words before, what in Jesus' name means, okay? But intent and desire are superior to words. Because if you happen to be, let's say, a brother who lost his speech, right? Let's say you're a brother from Sudan or something. I think that his tongue cut off. And you come here to the United States now, but you can't speak because you have no tongue. Does that mean that you cannot command in the name of Jesus? No. Because in the name of Jesus, that's an incantation. It's your intent, your desire for that person to be well. The Holy Spirit says, yeah, let's go for it. Okay? To the point that, listen, have fun with God. Okay? Have fun with the Holy Spirit. Have fun. And take chances. Take chances at doing crazy stuff. I'm telling you, take chances at, oh, you have a problem in your body? Watch this. Check yourself. Take chances. Be playful. Now, if the person is up to it, always respect the person. Because the greatest manifestation, even greater than healing, is love. Okay? So, respect the person. Always respect them. If they are suffering, it's not time to be moving around. If they're suffering, it's time to be compassionate and kick the devil's butt. But if there's somebody that's, I don't know, maybe more up to it, have some fun. Make a shout or say, hey, step on my shadow, you know. Just be like, how you feeling? Like, experiment, have fun. Engage to win. You engage to win. You don't engage sickness and disease to be casual. You don't engage to be like, yeah, in Jesus' name, be well, God bless you, brother. You don't do that. You don't do that. It's fun, it's simple, it was all done by the Lord. You get to exercise authority, okay? But take it seriously. Make yourself responsible for the ailments of a person, okay? You are representing God in front of them. Here I am, representing God. What do you need done? Take it seriously. Love them. Okay? Love them into freedom. Love them into being well and to being healthy. Yes. Take responsibility for what they're going through. Like, okay, you're sick right now. I am a Christian. The Spirit of God lives in me. I believe in Jesus. In His name, I get to do stuff. Okay, I'm going to take the responsibility and set you free. Okay? Don't limit God. Now, we know this. Don't limit God to locations. Don't limit God to places. Don't limit God to what we call atmospheres. Don't limit God to environments. Okay? If you get used to only dealing with the sick when the place is appropriate, let's say, you know, in church, and they're worshiping God, and it feels nice. If you only get to heal somebody in that environment, okay, when you're sweaty and hot, okay, and you're in the middle of the street, and a desperate mother comes to you and says, oh my God, my child is sick, that's a moment. You don't have time at that moment to be like, oh, hold on, let me get prayed. Hold on. You don't have time for that. You don't have time for, hold on.
Isaiah 53.
You don't have time to get yourself stirred up. You don't have time for that. You got to always walk in awareness of who lives in you. You have to always walk in awareness of Christ in you. Always recollect it. Oh, wow. My spirit, my soul, my mind, my strength is all submerged in you, God. Yeah. Just walk around like, I carry God inside of me. What do you got? You know, let's take care of business. You know, then regardless of what happens, regardless of where you are, you always have the power to be released on people.
Yes.
How sometimes your eyes can intimidate you. Okay? Your eyes can intimidate you. For example, this is my own experience. I shared this the other day. I'm going to share it again. I used to see people, you know, that used to grow the legs, you know, and I was like, wow, that is so awesome. But when I would try to do it by me staring at the legs like they did it, nothing would happen. And I'd be like, hey, Jesus, come on, leggy, come on. And nothing would happen. And I'm like, come on, I think it moved. Nothing. And I'll be like, disappointed, you know, like, man, but I know it's like, you know what? My experience is that determined the reality, okay? The reality. So, and then one day, by chance, I'm like, okay, we gotta get you like to grow, okay. And I'm just like, began to engage the person, look at them in the eyes. How are you? How are you feeling? How's everything? How did this happen to you? When I look down, the feet are even. And I'm like, oh. So I can get this to happen when I'm looking at it. Because when I look at it, it intimidates me. Oh, it's going to come out. It's not going to come out. I'm focusing on what's going to happen or not instead of focusing on the person. Okay? I'm focusing on coming out, not coming out. And then I'm like, okay. And then a couple of times after that, I have the chance to also do it.
Yeah.
And I just engage the person. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, how did this happen? You know? Because sometimes when you're doing it to a Christian, the Christian will be like, okay, let's pray. Okay, and they begin to. I'm like, sister, bro, don't pray. Don't pray. I'm doing the praying here. Just chill out and relax with the Lord. You know? And sometimes they do that. They mean well, but, you know, I heard it said that you cannot, a faucet that's running water out, you cannot put water in, right? And when a believer begins to engage God's presence, they begin to just pour out rivers, right? So it's hard to put rivers in when they're putting rivers out. So sometimes I'm like, just engage them in conversation. So how did this happen to you? You got hands on them. How did this happen to you? Oh, well, you know, they begin to tell you a story, right? They're entertained telling you a story, and you've got the juice going in, you know? You're like, okay. Oh, look, your legs are good. Oh, you know? And that happens many times. You get intimidated sometimes by what you see. I'm going to also explain the other example I gave. You can have three different people that have the same identical exact ailment. Let's say that all three of them have bad knee or bad ankle or bad hip. Identical. One not worse than the other one. One is in a wheelchair because they find it more comfortable. One is in a crutch because they don't want to be in a wheelchair. And the third one is just dealing with the pain and walking like this. And the three of them come to you for prayer. Okay? You will look at the wheelchair and be like, Lord, I need miracle here.
Why? Why do we see it as something more challenging? As something more, I don't know, difficult? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can't see it like that. You just gotta see it as, okay, and you know, if you have to close your eyes, you're like, okay, let me just pray. You know, you have to close your eyes, close your eyes. Don't let anything intimidate you. Okay? Don't let anything. Now, it makes for greater testimonies. Okay, in church, you're like, okay, I pray for a guy, he get out of the wheelchair. Praise the Lord. You know? Yeah, it makes for more interesting testimonies, but the reality is, you're doing it for the benefit of the person. Don't let a wheelchair intimidate you into releasing power. Don't let that happen. Treat it all the same. Don't call cancer the big C. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't give it a place of honor.
Wow.
Don't do that. Okay? Don't treat a cold like, I mean, I have to pray for that. And we do that all the time. I do it myself sometimes. I got a cold. I deal with it. What? Address that thing the same way you would address, you know, anything else attacking your body. We got to renew our mind to that. You know, life for us. We were not meant to die. We were not created to die. Okay? We were created to live eternally. Okay? Christ, okay, the prototype of who we really are, came to make us all like him. For what? So that we can begin terraforming the planet. Okay? Terraforming it into what he wants it to be. Why? Because the entire creation, okay, the continents, the plates of the earth, weather patterns, animals, they're all waiting for us to say, here we are. Or earthquake, or no. Place will adjust without causing destruction. Storm, you will come, and water, but you will not cause damage. Right? Creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested, to show up and say, here we are. Remember the dude 2,000 years ago? Well, there are millions of us now all over the earth. Okay? You will get some things healed more than others. Again, I tell you by experience, you will and can heal all things. Okay? Because you do it representing God. Now, something, as you grow in this, you will get some things more healed than others. You'll be like, how come any wrist problem, I get everything healed all the time? But when I face an eye with problems, man, I almost see nothing happen. They tell me, oh yeah, you see a little bit better, but nothing else. And we're like, what am I doing wrong? What's happening? Nothing's happening. Let me show you what's happening, okay? When you see success in one thing, your confidence grows. You're like, oh, wow. So the next time you attack that thing in somebody else, you have more confidence, right? With more confidence, more authority. With more authority, more release of power, right? When you address something that you've never ministered to, okay, you settle yourself. God, you're in me. Let's get this done. Okay? What can I do for you? Okay? But when it's something that you've seen and you've healed so many times, you're like, oh, no problem. It's confidence. Confidence releases power. Confidence in the authority that you are walking in. Okay? Because the badge, because you've been anointed as a son. Okay? And that is what happens. So you don't say, oh, you know, I'm good with hands, brother, but you know, for that problem, I call that brother. No. Call that brother, and then you get in it. And you get in it. And you get your hands in there, too. Okay? Because many times, Even if you don't see success in a certain thing, but that brother does, guess what happens when you and that brother pray for a person and you see success? The next time you address that same problem with somebody else, there is a higher probability of confidence and authority, and you will release power and you will see it happen. And the next time you're going to be like, yeah, it gets a little easier and a little easier. The power is always in you. God already took care of the problem. What needs to happen? Confidence in the authority that you carry, that the sickness has to obey you, and confidence in the power of God and the virtue that flows out of you. So, don't get discouraged. Keep at it. You gotta have, listen, to engage sickness and disease, to begin to walk in a healing ministry. The word ministry just means service. Doulos, right? Serve, no, dikaios, I think. It means service. Healing ministry is you are a servant of people with a healing power from God. That's all you are. You are a servant of people. Okay? Remember, you are God's servant, the devil's master, right? And you are humanity's friend. Okay? Humanity's servant and helper. Okay? So, continue doing it. Continue doing it. Don't get discouraged. Okay? Now, what else? Oh, yes. It said, look to Jesus. Okay? And how to get something done. You cannot go wrong, okay, with the Son of God. Okay? When it comes to healing, he got it done. You can look to him, okay, to how to get it done. If it couldn't stop Jesus, it cannot stop you. Okay? If it couldn't resist Jesus, it cannot resist you. Get that in you. Get settled in that. Okay? Get settled in that. If it could not resist Jesus, it cannot resist you. Now, sometimes another sacred cow is the sacred cow of open doors. Okay? Sometimes when you're going to minister to a person, okay, like I used to think, like, what if they open the door to this thing? What if they open the door to that thing? Every single person that just got healed opened something to something. One of them, Jesus said to him, okay, you're healed. Now go and don't do the same thing. Something worse may happen. Why do you say that? Well, some things happen because you're engaging stuff that's junk. Okay? But it should never stop you, and it cannot stop you. It cannot stop you. If someone is involved in some kind of sin, you can still get them healed. You can warn them. You can disciple them. Listen, what you're doing is not right. You know, I think that you need to know and disciple them a little bit and tell them, listen, you know, please, you know, be careful with what you're doing. Okay? You can do that. But that doesn't stop you from getting the junk out. You can't. A lot of people say, yeah, but you know what? They left an open door and the enemy went in. And the enemy has legal right to go in when you leave an open door. Really? So you're going to tell me that if I leave my car door open and somebody comes and takes my box or something that I have in my car, that when I go to court, the judge is going to tell me, well, left the door open. Because, you know, it was legal for them to take it. No, right? I could leave my house door open. Nobody has a legal right to walk in my house and take anything.
That's right.
No, they may take stuff. If I leave my car open, I'm going to lose some stuff. Parking in a little, you know, shady neighborhood. Yes. If I live in an area where they're robbing and I leave my door open, yes, they may break in. Was it legal for them to do it? No. It was not legal for them to do it. Okay? So that should never stop you, okay, from getting somebody healed, free, whatever, even if they have open doors to stuff. Okay? Because if it did not stop Jesus, it cannot stop you. Okay? Now, all these things aren't for us to get our minds renewed to this reality. How do you get your mind renewed? You begin to play. You begin to practice the way you intend to play. You begin to practice the way you intend to play. If you begin, you say, you know what? Yeah, you know, and you look in the Bible, and you look in the manual, and you know what Jesus, let me see what he said. And I think I have highlighted some parts here in the Bible. Here. I highlighted, I'm like, okay, let's see. Silence, come out of him. He took her by the hand, and she was healed. Okay. I am willing. Be clean. Okay. Stand up. Take your stretcher. Go home. Okay. Stretch out your hand. Okay. I see a pattern. Are you still? To the storm. Be quiet. Come down. Okay. To an unclean spirit. Come out of that man, you unclean spirit. Okay. Here. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. Okay? Palitaku, little girl, get up. I see a pattern. Okay? Now, you see that. So you put in your mind and your heart, okay, Lord, from now on, when I face somebody who's sick, oppressed, whatever, that will be my new language. The language of Jesus. Lord, I will no longer ask you to heal them. I will no longer address it in the third person. No. I'm going to look in the person's eyes, and I'm going to address whatever's tormenting them the same way Jesus did. And you begin to practice it. And when nobody's watching you, and you're driving to work, you begin practicing. Use your imagination. Okay, just picture yourself walking down the street. And there's a guy laying down who has no legs. Okay, begging for money. Just imagine. You're like, in Jesus' name, the legs grow. See them grow in your mind. There you go, and you see somebody else. You imagine it. You minister. Well, you begin to practice the way you intend to play. When it comes the time that you face somebody who has a need, a sickness, then it's no longer, okay, what did my brother say at the seminar? Wait, hold on. Let me see my notes. Okay. Now, you practice the way you intend to play. So when the moment comes, you attack. Second nature, okay? Remember, you're representing God. You stand in front of a sick person, what can I do for you? Okay? Now, I'm going to read a letter that John G. Lake, wrote to Carrie Judd Montgomery on April 22nd, 1911. Okay? This was a lady who was around when John Lake first saw a man get healed. He was a Christian. So a man get healed, he was like, wow, blown away. He began to learn, to inquire with John Alexander Dowie. I mean, you guys heard of him. He began to inquire and all that, and began to learn the ministry of healing. And then he's like, you know what? Healing is a science. We can do this. And he began to practice it, and he began to teach it, and his students, divine healing technicians, began to do it, began to see people healed by the hundreds, by the thousands. So all the men of God that we have seen walk in healing power, there was one of them that was able to reproduce himself. As much as we love other guys, okay, even from the Voice of Healing time era, you know, they were great men of God, but it was like they were the center of the show. Not to disrespect them, okay? Wiggles were, even all these guys, they were like awesome, but they did not reproduce themselves. John Lake was the only one that said, I can teach this. And he began to teach, and his students began to get the same results that he was getting. Okay? So, proving that it's no special anything. You can teach it. If you pursue it, you can show your authority. So he writes to this lady that was there when he first saw a healing. And he says to her, in close find the incident, dear sister, of what the Lord is doing among us in South Africa. At this time, he was in South Africa. It's a day when the Spirit of God is moving mightily. We praise God that he's moving strong, and this and the other. Awesome. Now, because she had written to him saying, I hear that you guys are like off the hook down there in South Africa. What is going on? You guys are doing crazy stuff. This is like even better than the book of Acts. What's going on, guys? And he writes to her, well, I wrote some time ago to a missionary by the name of Hoover from Chile on the subject of divine healing, which embodies what I regard as the secret of the aggressive ministry of healing that the Pentecostal movement of South Africa demonstrates. Okay. When John Lake says, okay, what I regard as the secret of the aggressive ministry of healing, you pay attention. Okay? So he says to her, I feel, sister, that there is a step in this ministry in advance of what the Pentecostal movement generally enjoys. God has laid it in my soul to present this particular phase of the exercise of the dominion of Jesus Christ. And that the secret of our success here in this ministry, he's going to tell you, right, one of the most successful healing ministers who taught hundreds and who got hundreds of thousands healed, who had Seattle declared the healthiest city in America, okay, in 1911, he's going to tell us the secret. Tell us. So, and the secret of our success here in this ministry is in our teaching our workers to exercise the dominion of God through the Holy Ghost, and that he has already put in their soul when he baptized them. So the secret is dominion because of who we have inside. And now he says, while in other branches of this work, of the healing ministry, they follow the old line of intercession for the sick. So in 1911, he's saying, oh, this stuff of asking God to heal, that's old stuff. That's 1800 stuff. He says, we do not pray for God to come and heal as in the old days. 1911, he's saying, we don't pray as in the old days, those old folks from the 1800s. We don't pray for God to come and heal. And he begins to show you the way he used to minister to people and the way he taught people how to minister healing. Step one, he centered himself. Okay? He recollected himself. How did he do that? Okay? We know that John Lake had people get all dressed up. Okay? And most of us know this. He would go in front of a mirror and say, God is in that man that is in that suit. Wow. Wherever that man in that suit goes, God goes. Okay? That was his way of centering. That was his way of recollecting. That was his way of, wow. Come on, though. That was his way of saying, I got God in me. Okay? So he's saying, we do not pray for God to come and heal us in the old days. But, here he begins. looking into his face, believing in God. You live in me. Believing that he has baptized us with the Holy Ghost. You got the power, baby. And that we have received the power of God through that baptism, we command in the name of Jesus the devil and his works to depart. That was the secret. That's what Jesus did. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what Jesus did. That's how you get it done. Simple. You pull rank on the enemy. You got a badge. You speak what you want to see happen. You give an order. You give a command. You don't pull back from that command. You give it. You stand there. You settle it. Devil, get out. Sickness, go. That's it. Simple. You're exercising dominion.
Brother, that's a little bit too aggressive, don't you think?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. God's original plan for mankind. What do you tell them? Have dominion over everything on the earth. Everything in the sky. Everything in the waters. Dominion. Okay? Dominion. So he tells this lady, I am convinced that there is a secret and better place for interceding for the sick. It's a better place. Maybe they're not with you. Maybe they're far away. You know, and maybe it's like, oh, can I lay hands on them right now? You know, at a distance, a command, but God, you know, maybe. He says, I am convinced that there is a secret and better place for interceding for the sick. Something better. What is this better? Tell us, John. In exercising a dominion of God over the devil and his sicknesses that when learned by the Pentecostal movement will put the ministry of healing miles in advance of where it is now. Amen. 1911. It never happened.
Not yet.
All right, 100 years later, body of Christ still, God, if it's your will, kill them, if not, kill them. if you're praying to God, God, if it's your will, heal them, the opposite is, well, then if it's not, then what?
Leave them as they are. Not very nice.
So we need to get on with Jesus' stuff. Okay? We need to get on with that. We need to just exercise authority. Show your badge. Okay? Take responsibility for someone who's sick. Okay? Address a problem, command, be forceful. Okay? Ekbalo, to cast out, whether it be demons or whether it be sickness. Ekbalo, that Greek word, is that a word that is please get out? No. The word is a, you get out or I'm taking you out. You know what I mean? One of those things. So, he finishes that letter by saying, and it was only after I had received the baptism in the Holy Ghost that the dominion of God entered my soul and compelled me to command sickness and the devil to leave, rather than to intercede with the Lord to take them away. So he's saying, we've been passive for too long. We've been trying to pass this on to God. As you know, God, this is your problem. You know, you heal them if you want. And God is saying, by his stripes they were healed. You know, behold, I give you power. Threat upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Therefore, go! Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Right? Okay. Wow, 606 already. No. Maybe we can address a few of the Q&A cards, a few questions. If I haven't covered it yet. So, can somebody collect the cards?
You have questions?
If you have any questions in them. Okay.
That's my daughter.
Okay, so let's see. One of them says here, do you have to ask a sick person for permission to pray for them? Well, number one, you're not praying for them. Okay? If it's to address sickness, okay, it'll be nice if you can say, can I pray for you? Sure. Relationship, love, okay, is something beautiful. Okay? Not treat them as a human experiment, but you know what? I care for you. Are you okay? Is everything fine with you? But if somebody that says, nah, leave me alone. You know what? You can command that sickness to go. You can do that. Okay? And you could be undercover. Okay? You could be undercover. You see somebody, you know, oh, okay. All right, it's okay. Have a good day. Be well. That's it. You just gave a command. You said, be well. And you're doing it representing your Lord. You're doing it in His name. Right? So that qualifies as laying hands, believers laying hands on the sick, right? Mm-hmm. Be well. Have a good day.
Amen.
There you go. You just did that. Okay?
I don't understand this too much.
I'm going to try to address it once that I can read clearly. Does the person have to be present to command the sickness out? Is it best to lay hands on them, okay, to pray over the phone? All that is awesome. Now, when you lay hands on a person, it's more of a direct release of power, okay? But you don't have to, okay? Renew your mind to the reality that you don't have to. That's it. If you think that you only need to touch them, then you'll release power only when you're touching them. Okay? But if you are at a distance, okay? I'm going to tell you the way I do it. Okay? I pray for people who post the requests. The way I do it is, I go to Facebook. If they're a Facebook friend, I look at their face, and I blow out their face. Okay? And I just sit there, and I think, okay, they have such a such problem. Okay. Just get something, Lord. You live in me. In your name, nothing can resist. Everything has to go. Okay. In the name of Jesus. There you go. Because in my mind, I'm recollected and there is no distance, right?
That's right.
Can you tell me where God isn't? Okay. Are you one with Him?
Yes.
So does that mean that where He is, you are also?
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Okay. Can you pray for someone to be healed as you are passing in the street? Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can. You're somebody that's... Listen, sometimes, like I said before, the greatest manifestation is love. Okay? It's love. So, and I have done it. Okay? You see somebody that, let's say, has showing something of their body, right? But they're sick, you know? And you don't want to make a show of them. You don't want to make them your healing experiment. Why? Because sometimes in the process, you know, we are taking a human being and using them. You don't want to do that. If they have the time to pull them aside,
and loving them and saying, you know, if you're doing this out of love, right? So you do it like that. Not as a watch, I'm going to get a testimony for that. You don't want that. You know, the temptation is there when you start seeing everybody heal. The temptation is there, okay? Like, I'm going to hit everything that moves. Okay? So I can have a little notch in my book, heal. You don't want that, okay? You don't want that. So keep yourself balanced, okay? But yes, be aggressive to get everyone healed. Okay, so you could be passing by and just stop somebody. Just make up an excuse. Come on, guys. If you see a girl and you want to get a number, you want to talk to her, you can do that, right? You can make up an excuse. Hey, don't I know you from somewhere? Right? I mean, the girls do that also. I don't know. But, don't I know you from somewhere? Oh, anyway, sorry. God bless you. Have a good day. Be well. You know, Jehovah's sneaky, right? If praying and there are unbelievers in the room, can this prevent the healing? Do you believe that it could prevent the healing?
No.
Well, simple as that. If you think that it will stop you because the mojo is not, you know, whatever, then you're going to be so worried about what they can do to stop you, that one, the power you carry. Remember, Jesus said, right? All power has been given to me. So the devil's got none. Any unbeliever's got none.
Amen.
So the one who lives in you permanently has all the power. Come on. I mean, why would we worry about a slingshot when you've got, you know, a gun and you're getting one, you know? Come on. Okay. How do you feel about praying for yourself to be healed? Yeah. Do it. Do it. Something that I've been trying lately, okay, is, because you know that in Romans says that if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in you, that same spirit will quicken your mortal bodies, right?
Yes.
So, oh, wait, he lives in me, my body may be more susceptible to stuff, but he really quickens, he brings life to my cells, to my body. Mm-hmm. And also, we are not subject to the law, okay? To the law of death. You are no longer subject to that, right? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done what? Set us free from the law of sin and death. So sickness belongs to the column that is, that says law of sin and death. And then you have the next column, law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay? So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from that other place, that you no longer are in that place. Right? Because you have been transferred to the kingdom of his son. So, on that column is sickness, disease, oppression, whatever. So, lately I've been practicing that if I don't feel that great, right, I just like, thank you God that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Sickness, you cannot stay in my body. You cannot stay in my body, you get out. That's it. What if you were diagnosed with something and deception got a hold of you, and you believe lies? God doesn't love me enough to heal me. You let fear. Can you still get to heaven? My friends, Christ has saved you, and he doesn't take it back. Okay? He doesn't take it back. Now, if you believe lies, that's what we've been talking about all this time. You get what you believe.
Yeah.
So if you believe lies, you're going to suffer because of those lies. So that's what we're talking about, mind renewal. Renew your mind to what we were talking about. Renew your mind to the manual that you were given. Renew your mind to that. Okay? And slowly, your mind will begin to change and you will think differently. What part does lack of forgiveness play in the part of healing? Now, this is a hard one. Because in the body of Christ, we have a strong belief that if you don't forgive, you can't get healed. All the people that Jesus dealt with, how many of those people do you think had some kind of unforgiveness? I would say a great majority, right? Well, how did he deal with it? Be healed. Okay. And after he healed them, there was a few of them that he spoke to and that he discipled, that he warned. One of them was what? Listen, I said before, don't do this again for something worse may come. A warning. He set them free first so he could taste what freedom was like. And then he discipled and advised them. You're the guy that comes with the chains. Son of God. Right? What's your name?
Legion. Coming on to the peace.
And then the man was sitting with Jesus in his right mind. And Jesus is sitting with this guy talking to him. What did he tell him? Well, must have been some juicy stuff. Must have been some stuff to keep him free.
Yeah.
But he did not take him to an 8-hour counseling and deliverance session to get free. No. He got him free first. Right? Because devils got to obey. They have no choice but to obey. He got him free first, and then he counseled. Oh man, you're telling me such good stuff, Jesus. Can I please follow you? No. Go to your town and tell them what the Lord has done with you. Wait a minute, I don't need to now follow you and become a regular follower and to get your anointing and juice every week. Nope. Just go and tell them what God has done for you. Okay? So in my opinion, and based on what I saw Jesus do and say, he did not ask anybody that he prayed for to first forgive people. Okay, now, if you believe that if you get people to forgive, they're healed faster, guess what's going to happen? The moment that person says, I forgive my so-and-so and so-and-so, you know what happens to you, the healing minister?
Be healed. Confidence.
Right? Confidence. Authority, release of power. Now you're healed because you forgave.
No.
You saw them forgive. That gave you confidence. Because before that, you didn't feel adequate because maybe they got stuff that they need to do so. Well, that's another question. Does this authority when praying for the sick also work in praying for broken marriages, addictions, depression? Any work of the enemy obeys when you speak in his name. Everyone. Please, can you explain James 5, 15, 16 in regards to healing? Call the elders and anoint and call the elders. Okay, James happens to be the first book of the New Testament. Okay? As a matter of fact, Paul had problems with those guys that were sent from James. Okay. I'm just telling you, James was a little legalistic. Okay. But that's out of here. He was following, James was following an old traditional Jewish method. You pray, you call the elders, right? You anoint with oil, right? And the prayer says the prayer will have, their sins will be forgiven, right? So what we can take out of that is that you can do that. You can do that. But you're a New Testament Christian, okay? You're a New Testament Christian who walks in authority. So if you used to do that, you can still do it. But it's easier. It's a good
come out. It's better. It works better. When people have strokes, how to command what you want to see happen. What you want to see happen. Sinus paralyzed, in Jesus' name, body made whole, blood flow, you know, flow properly, nerves be restored, cells be healed. What you want to see happen, that's what you address. If sickness is over a region, how do you pray? How do you address generational versus address? Sickness over a region. Well, the interesting part about this is that I don't see Jesus going up to the Mount of Olives, looking at Jerusalem and saying, sickness, go! He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He walked the streets. He engaged people on a personal thing. You know, the woman at the well, man, you know, he loved her. You know, it's not about a formula to get people healed. It's more a loving people into freedom. Okay? Because you have God in you. Love people into freedom. There is no method. Okay, you carry the power of God, you get people free, okay, but not at the expense of them being a healing project, not at the expense of them being a notch on your Bible or a testimony on a Sunday morning. Love them and get them healed, okay? Russ, we're running out of time.
Keep going.
It says here, Jesus couldn't drive out demons from, Jesus' disciples couldn't drive out demons from a person. Jesus told them to fast. We have to fast. Okay. What do we see happening? Okay. Before that event happened, we see Jesus and his disciples and him being approached by the religious crowd, right? And challenged, okay? A good Pharisee, you know, they fast twice a week. Don't know back then, not modern times, back then. And they say, you know, the disciples of the Pharisees, we fast twice a week. And the disciples of John even fast. Why do your disciples fast? Why? Because fasting is a traditional Jewish mourning thing. It's mourning, sadness. You cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them. Come on. So he established that. Okay? He established that. That when I'm taken, on that day, they will fast. Because on that day in Golgotha, when I'm crucified, they're going to be so broken, they're going to fast on that day. Okay? So, when the disciples are like, oh man, this boy cannot be healed. Jesus, I don't think it's God's will. And he goes, yeah. Be healed. You see, it was God's will, right? He says to them, why couldn't we do it? He says to them, well, this guy doesn't come out with prayer. Wait, but my Bible says prayer and fasting. The oldest biblical manuscripts do not have fasting in it. Does that mean that you shouldn't fast? No. Whatever. The thing is that fasting is between you and God.
Right.
It's not for everybody to find out. Brother, I'm going through a 21 consecration day fast. Look at my face. No! That's between you and God.
Right.
Nobody has to find out.
That's right.
When you're intimate with your spouse, you don't go, oh, hey. No! That's between you and your spouse and the beauty of your privacy and intimacy. When you fast, it's the same thing with God. If you fast, it's between you and God. What does Jesus say? Don't do it so that people say, oh, look how holy it is. No. Jesus says, go wash your face. Go put some perfume on so that you don't look like you're fasting. Okay? So, no. It wasn't because they didn't fast. It was because they just didn't believe. Can you tell a few of your undercover stories? Undercover stories. Undercover stories pretty much when you get to pray for people, command things in people, and you're not present, and then you find out that they felt better, and you're like, yeah, you're commanding that to get better.
Or when you're at work, that's an undercover story.
Huh?
When people are at work, that's undercover.
At work also, yeah, like Jen does when she handles jurors undercover. Anyway, how does healing reach the sick by proxy? Well, that's when somebody stands in place of a person, right? I don't see a problem with that. I mean, it's not my preferred method, but listen, if you are doing it to get somebody well, and if you are connected to a person, if I want my wife to be well and I am one with her, hey, brother, pray for me. My wife is not feeling well. I'm one with her. So, you know, one of my kids not feeling well, I'm a covering for my kids. I hold them in my heart. You know, so, yeah, you know what? Here, pray for me because my children are under me. You know? So, that was going on. What was that? Are people always healed every time you personally pray for them? How do I answer that? The thing is that if I answer no, I'm pulling my faith back from people that I have prayed for, but I haven't seen the recovery yet.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's be practical and instantaneously, many times no. But I don't pull what I have prayed and command, I don't pull it from them. And by pulling, I mean I'm like, oh, well, I guess it didn't work. I don't do that.
Exactly.
I don't do that. I believe what Jesus said.
Yes.
Lay your hands on the sick and they will recover.
Right.
Okay? Now, when you start walking and healing, you're going to find a lot of opposition also from people. Okay? From people. Okay? Go ahead. Pray for me now.
Believe me.
Power of God is for love and compassion, to show people God's love. It's not to show, look what I can do. Okay? So if you're in a challenge, like, go ahead, pray for me. Look, pray for me. Look, I'm sick. Pray for me. Love them and walk away. Because you're going to be doing it from a spirit that is not love and compassion. You're going to be doing it from a spirit of competition and show off. You can't do that. What is your track record?
What?
Honestly, I haven't kept a track record, but I don't know. I would say maybe, 70%, 80%. You know, maybe 7 out of 10 people show improvement in whatever we have commanded. You know? What if they are healed and it comes back? Well, that's when you get somebody free, but then don't just walk away. Spend some time telling them and teaching them. Listen, this thing that was brought in your sickness is out. So now, if you ever feel symptoms, don't just lay back and say, oh, well, I guess I'm not healed. No. Fight. Fight. Especially if it's a believer. But they have more responsibility because they're carriers of God. So you fight. You teach them. No, you fight. You don't take it. You fight. You resist. What about brain cancer? 100% mortality rate. Who says 100% mortality rate? Who says that? Doctors, right? Okay. Ask God. What does God say? By his stripes. Believers will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. See, you have to be so brainwashed by this reality that nothing shakes you. Even if you sound stupid, even if you sound what some people say, well, brother, you're going to be realistic. I'm sorry, this is our reality, okay? In my experience in seeing people healed, and your experience in seeing people healed, does not change facts. Facts, okay? Facts. That your experience does not change facts. And you live, and you walk, and you minister, and you command, and you stand in authority by facts. Okay? Not by your experience. Not by today I prayed and read my Bible. Oh, yes, I didn't do that. Not based on feeling. It's based on reality. Reality is you are one with God. You have been anointed, okay, into sonship. And because you are sons, God gave you the spirit of his son. And that same spirit that healed and set people free and raised the dead while he was in Christ does it also in you. Okay? But if you don't pursue, you won't see much. Okay? You won't see much. If you go and attack every sickness, there's a lot of chance that you will see a lot of good results. If you don't address it, if you don't attack it, if you don't pray for people, if you don't minister to people, you're not going to see anything. Okay? Can I go by myself into a place where I know it's full of darkness and evil spirits and pray for healing and restoration, or should I go as a team of God's saints? Well, what do you believe? What do you believe? Listen, as he is, so are we in this world. Okay? And Jesus, when he came, he was only one, and the world was in darkness. The world was full of the influence of evil spirits. Okay? Now, the Spirit of God is growing us all into Christ in all things. Okay? In all things. So, how do we answer this? If I know that there is a party going on, and they're all Satanists, and they're all having a seance, and they're all having a demon party, right? And I've been invited to go. Yeah, come on, they hang out with us. Okay? How do I feel going to this party? Do I feel intimidated? Do I feel I'm not going to go? I'm not going to go. If I feel intimidated, I'm not going to go. Okay? If I'm thinking about it and God says, go. You sure? Yes, go. I'm going to go. Some things you need to play by ear. And by ear, I mean hear what God is saying. You know what I mean? You take a chance sometimes, okay? But there are some situations where you need to be wise. You need to use wisdom, okay? Last one here. This is one that I don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't understand this one.
Want me to try?
It's someone with the gift of interpretation.
That's my question. I want to find out, because there's a passage in the Bible that says, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we heal this?
Yes.
And then Jesus says, get out of here.
Do you wait first?
That's okay, that's
for the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Is it this one that you said?
Yeah.
Okay. In that passage, what does Jesus say? Depart from me. I never knew you.
That's right.
And then he said,
Correct. Correct. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. You want to say what it means? I never knew you. Every child of God is known by God. Doesn't have to be afraid of that. It's for those, like he says, I never knew you. Those who never walked, who didn't know him, and did stuff like the seven sons of that Sceva. They didn't know God. Exorcism was a profession, was kind of popular back then, but they made money. So in the name that Jesus, that Paul preaches, and we are known by God, so that will never happen to us. For those people that don't know him and think that doing things gets them righteousness, gets them favor, is different. Hey, but Jesus, wait a minute. I did all these things. Never knew them. Everyone here is known by God. We walk with God, he's our Father. So that will never happen to us. Many times people that are against miracles will use that scripture as, oh, you see, you know, that was, you know, all those miracles passed. And he may say, I never knew you. Well, I'm sorry, brother. He knows me. He knows me so much.
But is it possible that we can guess? Like, I know the Lord, you know, we have relationship with the Lord. Is it possible that we can go ahead?
I'm sorry, could you hear that? We can go where? The Israelites walk with by the cloud, right? Okay. Did they know God?
No, they backed out.
They didn't know God. What did they say? You, Moses, you talk to him. We freaked out. You talk to him. They didn't know God. And that cloud was just a guy in a covering and a light and all that. Okay. But what do we see Paul doing? We see Paul as he's doing his missionary trips, right? He's going to different places, right? So we assume, man, Paul was guided by God. Paul was led by God, and he went wherever the Lord told him to go. Well, there is an instance when the Lord says what? Don't go into Asia. Don't go. If God is supposedly guiding him, how can God tell him don't go? Because they have received their mission, which was going through all the world. The way the New Testament saints saw life was the light is always green. But when you see a red one, you stop. The body of Christ thinks that every light is red. And we gotta move. And we gotta move when we see a green. Red. But no, the New Testament believers saw every light as green, but you stop when you see a red one. And the same is with you as a believer. Going through all the world. Yes, sir. That's what Paul was doing. He was making plans, he was coming and going. Yeah, I'm sure there were times that the Spirit said, yeah, go here, go there. Or that one time when that Macedonian guy came in the Spirit and said, come and help us. You know? But if there was a time that God said, don't go into Asia, it's because God was not telling him to go. Paul was just going, following the Great Commission. Okay?